Amen. Well, you're going to have a treat tonight. Number one, I'm not teaching. But number two, Jonathan is going to share God's word with us. It's a double blessing.
See, buddy. Thank you. Well, God bless you, everybody. We're going to be reading in Psalms today. We're going to go through a few things in Psalms. I guess if I were to give a name, well, actually, I know the name of the teaching. It's a brief overview of Psalms. It's going to be very brief because Psalms is very long, right? And we're not going to be here all night with that. But I thought, and I have to tell you, the manifestations were pretty amazing. John's prayer, we praise you in every way we can think of. Oh my God, that is Psalms. You know, and that is so much of what life should be. And then one of the manifestations was, give your care unto me. And that, again, so much of what Psalms revolves around is people casting their cares to God, throwing their lives to God. I have my lovely assistant has a few pieces of paper, a sheet, sort of a printout, if she would mind handing them out. I hope there's enough for everybody. I actually have a few more, but they were slightly misprinted, so I'm hoping that I can just go with the good ones. Oh, here's another lovely assistant. Yeah, there's a couple more. Everyone have one? I have a. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, there's plenty. Okay, good. My interest in this really got piqued in Psalms when about 10 years ago I was in a very bad accident and my leg was broken and the bone was broken in about 90 pieces. And I work on ladders and it wasn't looking all that great. And a friend of mine said that, well, you know, when you get in a situation like this, you should praise God. Now, that wasn't really something that I had heard that much of from the ministry that I came from. And so what I started to do was I would get down on my knees, which was another thing that I didn't do too much of, and I would praise God, and I would thank God. And I have to tell you, the pain was unbelievable because I couldn't hardly bend my knee. But it was one of the most beautiful things that I ever did. And it opened this whole thing up. And I began to think, well, where is there a lot of praise at? I mean, there's some epistles like Ephesians is practically pure praise, the epistle to the Ephesians and all that. But the real, there's a lot of praise and a lot of thanksgiving that's recorded in the book of Psalms. And so I began to go through the book of Psalms, and now on that sheet of paper is sort of my breakdown. This is not the Word of God breaking down all the different categories of what the Psalms are about. But some of the Psalms have blessings, you know. Some of them are curses. You see that at the top of the page. It says possible thematic breakdown. Then there's D for deliverance, F for forgiveness. Most people are familiar with, what is that, Psalm 51, where David begs God not to take the Holy Spirit from him. G is God, pertaining to God or godly characteristics, which, you know, every time I go through, I've read Psalms about 50 times through in the last 10 years. And almost every time I go through it, I think, well, wait a minute. I keep changing what I think each one of the Psalms is about. So then I added it's informative, because some of the Psalms are basically informative. messianic. The theme, basically, of that psalm would be about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, which is really the central point of all life. P is praise. P is predominantly praise. S is stress. T is thankfulness. V is varied. A lot of the psalms, the messages in them are varied. They don't always deal with the same thing. And the Psalms was broken down a long time ago into five books. Book one was the Genesis book. Book two was Leviticus. Book three was Numbers. Leviticus, I said. Book four is Numbers, and book five is Deuteronomy. And they're broken down, as you can see. Book one goes from Psalm 1 to 41. Book two goes from Psalm 42 to 72. Book three goes from Psalm 81 to 73 to 89. Book four is 90 to 106. And then the last book is from Psalm 107 to 150. And, you know, there's a lot of things that they don't really understand. They're not really sure why they're broken up into those five books. Bullinger had some ideas. Some people have had ideas, but a lot of people really are not so sure. And there's a lot of words in the subtitles, in the titles of the Psalms that people don't know what they mean, like Miktam and Shagion. There's several words they don't know what they mean, but they know basically what everything means. It's pretty clear. The Bible is very clear. A couple of things to keep in mind. If you look about two-thirds of the way down the page, I have some notes here about things to keep in mind when reading Psalms, especially the Psalms that are curses. Because there's quite a few Psalms where, you know, David or somebody is saying, man, get these jerks off my back and send them straight to you know where. Well, you see, the trouble with that is there was this guy that came along. His name was Jesus Christ, and he changed everything. Jesus Christ changed everything. He changed every relationship. He split the darkness. He once again brought light, real light, into the universe. You know, and when he was on that cross, which we just celebrated the death and resurrection of him, when he was on that cross, he said one of the last things was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And, you know, a lot of times people will do things and say things to us and try and hurt us, maybe even try and kill us. And yet, somewhere down the line for that person, or maybe their offspring, which if God were to wipe them out, they wouldn't have the offspring, you know, there's going to be redemption. And we don't know all the reasons for anything, but Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so a lot of times when you read the Psalms and David is like, oh my God, you got to tear these people to shreds and all this kind of stuff. Now, you know, and there'll come a time again when Christ comes back, all right, and then, you know, a lot of those ungodly people will have to pay. They will give an account, and they may even give more than an account. But for right now, a lot of times we need to just be a lot more, what we need to do and think about, which you'll, if you'll notice the notes in there, is that we're in a spiritual battle, and what we're really fighting against is the adversary, you know. And it is more than okay to say, yes, let him burn in hell. You know, let him get caught in his own snares, in his own devices. There's a lot of that in the Psalms. And that's totally legitimate for us to pray that. But the other stuff, you know, probably more or less. I mean, occasionally, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But sometimes it just don't lie in you, and you know, you have to do something else. And sometimes God's just got to get them off your back. But all right, so that's a couple of things. Down at the bottom of the page, I have some key words that are in the Psalms. And Hebrew Old Testament, you see that down there at the bottom? Mm-hmm. All right, there's a, has about 420,000 words in it. The Psalms, which is the largest single book, has about 9% of that total, or maybe 38,000 words. Now, the following words I've given you with a percentage of the times that those words actually appear in Psalms. So that, you know, say one of these words is, let's say, Thanksgiving. All right? Say it's used 300 times in the Bible. Well, 60% of those times it would be in Psalms, which is only 9%. I'm not saying that's the exact number. I'm just giving that example. I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to get in all the numbers and everything. Glory, 75%. Happy, 58% of the times the word is used in the Old Testament, it's in Psalms. Praise, 58% of the time that the word is used in the entire Old Testament, it's in Psalms. Love, 50% of the time. So you see, this should open our eyes up and our thoughts up to that there's something really special about Psalms. And what it is it illustrates the heart and the mind of someone who is desperately in for relationship with God and who loves God and who wants to navigate through this life with God. And in Psalm 1, verse 1, and before we go any further, God, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you, God, for it being magnified above everything. And I thank you for this opportunity to share your word and for your words really penetrating our minds and our hearts. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Three things. He's not walking, he's not sitting, he's not standing. He's not walking, he's not standing, he's not sitting. See? None of those things with the, he doesn't sit down in front of the TV with the ungodly stuff, you know. He doesn't walk with these people, he stays away from them. But his delight, rather, is in verse 2, in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And that word meditate is a really foundational key word in the Bible, because what it means is to speak to yourself. See? To say to yourself, mumble. It's used in Joshua. Remember the thou shalt be very courageous, only be strong and very courageous in his law, meditate. Okay. Same word, and it means to speak it to yourself. So when we're going about our daily working or whatever, think the words, think the praise, think the thanksgiving. Just like John said, it was incredible. We praise you in every way we can think of. We thank you in every way we can think of. We trust you in every way we can think of. One of the greatest things in Genesis, God does all these incredible things. He creates the heavens and the earth. You know, he makes life, the water, the plants, the animals, everything after its kind. Everything happens. There's no questions. There's no doubts. There's no darkness. It's all good. Then this worm comes along and whispers to this woman, and all of a sudden, nobody trusts God anymore. One of the first things that went was that there was no trust in God. And the life has got to the point where people just don't trust God. We don't trust that he is really going to do the things that he says he's going to do. We don't believe that he is as good and he is as big and he is as great and he is as wonderful as he is. Well, if you read this stuff, you know, that will begin to penetrate your mind, because the trust issue with God is crucial. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's going to be your life. There's not going to be any droughts. There's not going to be storms that's going to uproot you. See? The ungodly ain't like that. Uh-uh. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Now, in the Old Testament, when they would, they grew their own grains, and they, when they were making the wheat, they would take the wheat and throw it up in the air. And the light chaff that was around the grain would blow away. So they didn't have to actually manually separate it. They've got machines that do it all now, but that's what they used to do back then. And the wind would just blow it away. And the evil people, they seem like they're prospering. They are prospering. You know, their lives are, a lot of them, their lives are great. They seem like they've got everything. You've got nothing. Well, you know what? Chaff. It's all going to blow away. The thing we always forget is the resurrection. Mm-hmm. See? Because on the other side of life, you are going to have everything. And they are going to have nothing. That's why we want to try and get them born again, for gosh sakes, so they don't miss out. Yes?
And also, like in Psalms 37, it says, "Fret not thyself concerning yep. evildoers.
That's right.
For they shall soon be cast down."
They may even be, well, they will be cast down, if not in this life, certainly in the resurrection. Unless they're born again, they're going to have a rough time on the other side of life. Okay. So anyway, there's these different kinds of psalms. And that first psalm is an introduction pretty much to the whole book of Psalms. And he's telling you that what you want to do there is, you want to run the Word of God through your mind. You want to keep God foremost in your thinking, you know, and you don't want to hang out and listen and associate. You don't want to let your thinking be conformed to unbelievers. See, you know, you can watch a TV show, but if you find your mind starting to change, like with, what is that, Modern Family, and oh, they're okay. No, they're not okay. See, that stuff is not okay. It's not okay. You know, and that's just it. Okay. Now, look at Psalm 4. Again, we're looking for traits that believers, qualities that they have in, that they have developed in their relationship with God. And the first two psalms are anonymous. Most of the psalms in this book one are written by David. And a lot of them are psalms of distress. David was in a world of hurt in most of his life. You know, he came up, he was a young boy, he killed lions and bears, he takes out Goliath, everything looks like it's going fine. Then people start whispering the song, and he gets these spirits, and he wants to kill David. So for the next 10, 15 years of David's life, he's being chased by the king that he loves of his own people, and he's trying to kill him. And David is constantly going to God because literally, at one point, Saul's on this side of the mountain, David's on this side of the mountain, and they're that close. One time, they're in the same cave together. Mm-hmm. All right. So David, Psalm 4, this is a psalm of distress. And David says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Now, how many times when you pray to God, you say, "Hey, God, listen to me"? But here it is. It's a legitimate human emotion. You know, it's not like the emotions that the children of Israel had when they were in Exodus, coming into the Promised Land, and they started complaining to God about, well, how we don't have any food, then the next thing, we don't have any water. Because, you see, what they wanted to do is they wanted to go back. This man doesn't want to go back. He wants to live his life with God. He wants to live a godly life. He wants to be a godly man. He doesn't want to have to kill Saul. And he wants to live in peace. See, there's a big difference. In Hebrews, it talks about that a lot of times the reasons that one person will do something, like Cain, make a sacrifice, and another person does something, and one is acceptable and one isn't, or one is chiding with God, you know, and it's wrong, and the other one is, it's because it's by faith. See? David's heart, he was diligently seeking after God, and these other psalmists are too. And when we are like that, okay, then if we need this, hey, God, listen to me. Notice me. Hey, look at this situation. I'm up against it here. There's nothing wrong with that. Hear me when I call, O Lord, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after lessing? That means falsehood. Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. See, he yelled out to God, but he knows that God is going to answer his call. And that's the difference. But sometimes, you know, look at Psalm 5, the same thing. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Again, that same word, meditation. He's speaking these words. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you and will look up. How many times when we get up in the morning do we pray to God? Do you stop and take a minute or a couple of minutes or even a few seconds? How many times during the day? We can't get into all these psalms, but I mean, there are psalms where David says, I did it seven times a day, ten times a day. You know? I stopped and I took a minute or however long it was, and I just, Lord, you are the most awesome God. I know that you are powerful. I know that your mercy and your righteousness. I know that you created the universe, God. And nothing, there's nothing that is more great and more powerful than you. And I trust you completely, Lord. How many times do we do that? I tell you what, you do it, and it is going to change your thinking. It really will. Especially, when you get up against, when you're backed up to the wall. But, you know, to wait till then sometimes it might be a little late. If you're doing it ahead of time, it makes a difference. We're going to skip ahead a little bit here. Let's go to Psalm 8 and 9. I tried to pick short psalms. Mercifully, I'm sure you're happy about that, right? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This is Psalm 8, verse 1. Who has set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Anybody ever remember hearing that, seeing that somewhere else in the Bible? Jesus Christ said that in the Gospels. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, Psalmist says, you made this with your finger. Okay? The moon is 250,000 miles away from Earth. The sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. All right? It takes light 500 seconds to go from the Earth, from the sun to the Earth. The closest star is 27 trillion miles away from the Earth. And that's the closest one. Our galaxy is 100,000 of these 6 trillion light years across. I don't even know what that number is called. You know? It's 600,000 trillion, I guess. That a quintillion? I don't know what it is. But it's huge. And they say there's a billion galaxies out there. They say that the furthest spot from the Earth, and by the way, you know, they say the Earth's not the center of the universe. If you look that way, 14 trillion miles with their top telescopes, you're going to see some stars. You look that way, 14 trillion light years, you're going to see some stars. If you look that way, if you look up, you look down, 14 trillion. So how do we know we're not actually in the center of the universe? It sounds like we're 14 trillion, 14 trillion, 14, you know? Maybe we're not. But anyway, no matter what, the thing is God made all of that. And he says he made it with his finger. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now you, what couldn't he do? See, so why do we have these thoughts that God can't fix something for us, can't help us? A lot of times it's our own closed-mindedness because we've been so schooled to see that God doesn't work, God's not real. You know, you see these stupid shows on TV or you hear these things, and always Christianity is made to look foolish, almost always. And there's never hardly anything where God is magnified. But God, with his finger, did it, it says. And look at verse 6. You made man, that's us, okay, to have dominion over the works of your hands and has put all things under his feet. It says that Jesus Christ, all things are put under his feet and we're the body of Christ. You know? I mean, it is absolutely awesome what is going on in the universe. And we're still believing the lie from a worm who has now been magnified. You know, in Revelation, he's a dragon. He started out as a worm. See? A snake. You know? Don't give him the credit. Give God the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. 7, all sheep and oxen we have dominion over. The beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, verse 8, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the pass of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I believe that's how that psalm actually started out. You know, you can see it's like a bookend, each side, how excellent is your name. Psalm 9, and this is another psalm of praise. And this is an acrostic psalm. We're not going to go through the whole thing. But what an acrostic psalm is each letter of the Hebrew alphabet starts that verse. So there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 22 verses. And each letter starts one. So the first one is Aleph. I will praise thee. I don't know what the Hebrew word for I is. Well, actually, never mind. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. With my whole heart. I will show forth all your marvelous works. Okay? I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O you, the Most High. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You have sat in the throne judging right. God is up there judging. You have rebuked the heathen. You have destroyed the wicked. You have put out their name forever and ever. And it just goes on and on like this, you know. All right. And look at Psalm 11. Again, this is a big, big, big deal for a lot of, well, for the Old Testament believers. What does verse 1 say?
In the Lord I take my trust.
Yes, in the Lord I put my trust. And then he says, how then are you going to say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountains? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their hour upon the string. He says, I put my trust in God. So why are you people telling me I have to run away? See? You know, I mean, you constantly hear these things on TV. You're going to get cancer. You're going to get this. You know, you can't live in the city. You can't live here. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, why are you saying that to me? The Lord is where I put my trust. That's where I put my trust. Nowhere else. All right, look at Psalm 13. Now, this is a psalm I call of stress or deliverance. And look at what David, this is another psalm of David. Look at what he's saying to God here. I mean, would you say that to God? I would, you know, I mean, for years I would never think to say anything like that to God. How long are you going to forget me, God? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall I enemies be, well, you know, the enemies being exalted, that's different. But the first part is, God, don't you notice? Don't you see what's going on? Well, there's nothing wrong with saying that to God. I'm not saying you should make that your theme song, you know, but occasionally, if it comes up, you know, and you think like, well, God's, you know, you're missing, I need some attention here. I need some help. And you know, another thing I'm going to tell you, most of the Psalms aren't dealing with, Lord, I need money. You know, I need another car. I like that nice outfit of clothes. That house looks great. That's not what most of it's about. Most of this stuff is life and death stuff, being attacked and praising God. And then there's, you know, there's others about Zion and the Messiah and things like that. But a lot of these Psalms, when they're asking for things, they're not asking for money and those kind of things. He's asking for deliverance. And I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of things that are going on in America today, okay, that are actually threatening your lives, you know, that are threatening your well-being, that are threatening your ability to even speak the word. And those should be a lot of the things that if you're talking to God about, you need to talk about. Because, you see, if you trust God, he's going to take care of you. He's going to supply those needs. He will supply your needs. I want to go to Psalm... Oh, there's just so many of these I'd love to. Now, we've seen a couple of times where the psalmist has said, God, why have you forgotten about me? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you, you know, all this kind of stuff? Well, look at Psalm 22. This is another one that goes along in this vein. And in verse 1, then this is a messianic psalm. My God, which Rob Ray did a great teaching on, by the way, if you guys want to check that out. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, we just read, he said almost the same thing in, what was that, Psalm 13, I think? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear me. And in the night sessions, and I'm not silent. But you are holy. See, he's starting to bring his mind around. And Jesus Christ said those words. And Rob has pointed out that more than likely, Jesus Christ recited this entire psalm. And a lot of times these psalms start out with the believer being kind of shaky. God, why aren't you listening to me? God, I'm sinking here. I'm losing it here. You know, this is a mess for me. I'm going to be wiped out. But they slowly bring their minds around, and almost every one of the psalms that are a distress or a stressful psalm, they do that. And they end up bringing their heads around to the fact that God, just like it says here, you are holy, you inhabit the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted in you to deliver them, they cried unto you and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. And these are the kind of things that we need to go bring on our minds. You should, there's a psalm, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Yeah, it's not a bad idea to sit down, get yourself a piece of paper, you could even use the back of that paper I gave you, and write down some of the things that God has blessed you with, some of the times that God has delivered you. And you, I'm everyone in this room, I will guarantee you the number is staggering. I'll never forget the first time I did it. It is staggering. And that's what we need to focus on, that he's going to deliver. He's going to take care of us. He's going to get us out of this situation. And then there's the 23rd Psalm. Probably most of you never heard this one, I'm sure. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You're going to feed me right in front of my enemies, and I don't have to worry. They're not going to attack me. I think about, what was it, Josiah? When the children of Israel, they were surrounded by the enemy, and they march out there with their kids and their wives singing. The priests are leading and they're singing while there's this enemy totally armed, ready to destroy Jerusalem. And they march out there and God wipes them out. He just wipes them out. And when we get that kind of confidence, when the people in the Near East, the Christians that are being whacked off by these Muslims, when they start to build that kind of confidence that God's going to deliver them, there'll be a few changes over there, if it ever happens. Okay. I'm going to end with Psalms 33 and 34. Now, we never even got out of the first book of the Psalms. And I will tell you this. This is another interesting thing. Remember I mentioned about a lot of these psalms are stressful psalms or despair and needing deliverance. Well, in the beginning, the despair and the deliverance and the stress psalms outweigh the hymns of praise. I think it's like 2 or maybe even 3 to 1. But by the time you get to the last two books, the Deuteronomy book and the Numbers book, which is basically from Psalm 90 through 150, those last two groups, the number of the praise and the thanksgiving hymns and psalms way outnumber the deliverance. And I think that's very significant. So in Psalm 33, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." If you can't play an instrument, you can still sing to God. You know, you can change the words to songs that you know. You know, Martin Luther, a lot of the hymns that he wrote, he took the tunes from bar, the songs they were singing in the bars, and he just put Christian words to it. And there's several of the psalms where the heading, it says to the tune of, and then it lily of the something or lily of this or, you know, New Kid in Town. I mean, it's just, it's crazy, but they must have been doing a similar thing. All of the psalms were sung, and the psalms were meant to be spoken, you know, and read out loud. They didn't have, from the time of Moses to the time of Jesus to the Gutenberg Bible, 3,000 years, okay, 1400 B.C. to 1400 A.D., just about nobody had a Bible, all right? Nobody. They had some temple copies. The king in the Old Testament, which was when did the kings ended around 600 B.C., you know, they were supposed to write out a copy for themselves. And then they were supposed to read it and actually do it. Well, not too many of them did that, but some did, you know. And maybe if you were rich, you might have some a copy. And then, you know, there was places where some of the words were written out on temples and buildings and all that. But for the most part, nobody had Bibles. So there was no reading of the Bible. When Paul wrote, study to show thyself approved, he wasn't talking about you. He wasn't thinking. You know, now obviously now we have an incredible blessing. And, you know, most people have more than one Bible in America. But back then they didn't. And the way you held the word in your, the way you held on to the word was you memorized it. You said it to yourself. You sang it to yourself. We did one of the songs we did today was Psalm 100. And that is based on the idea that the Psalms were sung. And a lot of these Psalms, by the way, when they were done, there's two or three different people, individuals involved in these Psalms. You know, like one might be the narrator, another one is God, another one might be the king, one might be me saying something, and then there's like this prophet, and this is literally how they were done. A prophet would then sing something, and then there would somebody else would sing the words that God would say. And these things were like plays. They were like plays, but they were musical plays, you know? And the idea was to reinforce to people all of the awesomeness of what life was about, that God can talk to you, that, you know, it's an amazing thing. So Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely, is good for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. You don't know how many times in the Psalms and in the Old Testament, God is constantly reminding people that he made the universe. You know? Because that is a big deal. I mean, if he could do that, what can't he do? If I brought a different translation Bible, and it's got this amazing stuff that God talks about in Isaiah chapter 40 about the things he did. And then he says, you know, don't think I've forgotten about you. I haven't forgotten you at all. I know exactly what's going on with you. I made the universe. I'm going to take care of this. And again, sometimes that taking care doesn't happen till, you know, after Jesus Christ comes back. But the word of the Lord, verse 6, the heavens made, all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the seas together as in heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. It stands forever. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, you know what? We've just about pushed God off of this continent. So, you know, they talk about that it's global warming that's causing all these problems and everything. No, you push God off the continent, nature, you know, there's a vacuum. And what's filling up that vacuum is evil. And it is pure evil. And it's coming strong. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the son of men. From the place of his habitation he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions all of our hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of his army. It's not your M1 Abrams tanks. You know, it's not your battle cruisers and your stealth bombers. That's not what's doing it. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. The doctors, with all their knowledge of medicine and all that, very limited what they actually can do. See, and mostly what they're doing is just helping, facilitating the deliverance and the healing that God built into the human body or the animal body. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that reverence him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Well, I hope we hope in his mercy, because his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hope in him. And you know what? I think instead of reading Psalm 34, I think let's go to the end of the Bible, and there's this incredible, on the end of Psalms, I mean, there's this incredible group of Psalms that are all praise. And I think we'll just probably read a couple of them. 146. And the thing is these were all done together. All the people in the fellowship, in the church, in the synagogue would say these together. Praise the Lord, 146:1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That's exactly what John said this morning, this evening. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man. Don't put it in doctors. Don't put it in scientists. Don't put it in these stupid TV personalities, in whom there is no help. For his breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. That's your doctors. That's your man. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all there is, which keeps truth forever, which executes judgment for the oppressed, which give food to the hungry. The Lord looses the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. It still happens. It's still God's will. Open the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down, crushed over with pain and agony. He preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Let's go to 148. It's a little shorter. Now listen to this one. This one to put a smile in your heart. I don't know what would. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise ye him all his hosts. Praise ye him sun and moon. Praise ye him all ye stars of light. Praise him ye heavens of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. He also exalts the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. 149. Praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation. Let me tell you, if you were to do this in the morning, think about it. If you, when you got up, just take an extra minute and just read these out loud. The word was meant to be read out loud. See? This breaks depression. This breaks, you know, the doldrums. This makes you, oh, this is God. This is God Almighty here we're talking about, you know? Let them praise his name, verse 3, in the dance. Get up in the morning and just start dancing, you know? Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. You know, a timbrel, that's just like a tambourine. I mean, you know, anyone can bang a tambourine, right? You can clap your hands. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. You don't think you're pretty? Here it is. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths as a two-edged sword in their hand. Two-edged sword. Where do we ever read that before? To execute vengeance upon the heathen. All right, now hold on. Remember Jesus Christ. This was before. And punishment upon the people, to bind their kings and their nobles in fetters of iron. All right, let's skip all that. But the last part. Praise ye the Lord. And Psalm 150 is like, what, five verses long? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you. Give me a second here, Nick.
Praise is a big thing.